love music, live sport. Just the Juniors with Bill Kilgour and John Redmond on Rock Sport Radio.
Good evening. That was Huey Lewis in the News, A Power of Love. We all love it here in Junior Football Time. Good evening. It's Friday night, and it's Just the Juniors here on Rock Sport Radio, where we chat about the junior football for a full hour. Yes, a full hour with me, Bill Kilgour, and him,
John Redmond.
And together we'll bring you all the latest gossip from the junior game and lots more besides. John, I believe we've got some sad news to start the show off with tonight.
Yes, unfortunately, Bill, I heard during the week there that a junior stalwart for 30-odd plus years, Matt Spears, had passed away suddenly. Matt was involved in the Ayrshire region for secretary, West region as well. In the latter years, he was reporting for the local press. A great guy was Matt. He always got the same way, turned up. And my condolences to his family from all at Darvel Football Club and Rock Sport Radio.
Yeah, he was a stalwart down in Ayrshire to start with.
He certainly was.
Anytime I ever bumped into him, he was always there or thereabouts reporting for his local paper as well.
Yeah, he was never, always a time for a word with everybody at junior football, just loved it. I think his early days, he started off with Hurlford, and the committee of Hurlford.
Right.
And then he went to the association side as a Matt's secretary for many years. And then when the Central League and Ayrshire combined, Matt stepped down from that, and he started doing his report for the press. And I mean, it was always steady. Wasn't it your game? I could guarantee on a Sunday morning, Matt would be giving a phone call for an unbiased report, as we'd call it. So.
Unbiased, especially when you're giving the report,
I was also speaking to Kenny Young today on that subject, and Kenny informed me that all West games tomorrow will have a minute's silence before for a mark of respect.
That's a great idea. Fantastic. That's brilliant. Yeah, as well. My condolences go to his family, his friends, especially the junior family as well in that one. So, everybody, if you're at the game tomorrow, remember there will be a minute's silence to mark respect for Matt. If you're out going out and about, then you can get us on your smartphone with the apps of TuneIn and Radiogram app. So there's no excuse for you not listening to the show tonight. Anyway, John, good night, good evening. How are you?
Welcome. Is that David Frost?
Aye, that's him. Aye. You're on the ball tonight.
Oh, sharp at that tonight. I'm good, Bill. I'm good tonight. Thanks, Paul. Yes, and a wee victory in midweek. There's a trick, you know, always helps.
Let's go back to Saturday. This is what I'm going to talk to you about.
Saturday? What happened on Saturday? Like?
I'm going to ask you, John, what happened on Saturday? another 2 points dropped against St Rocks, a team who hadn't scored a league goal until Darvel arrived at their scene. So what happened? Come on,
we like to make teams give you confidence in that play, because they did score five on Wednesday night, so it was a slow start. No, in fairness, we got off to a poor start. We lost two players through bad injuries in the first 20 minutes, with a knee ligament and another boy with a dislocated elbow. So adding that onto
Did that actually cause the problem, John? Defence, because listen, let's be honest, it's a team game. You bring players on, they're supposed to be able to slot into their positions.
But in saying that, we're sitting there, that's an excuse, but we've been sitting there with four and five players missing before Saturday, and then to add that on to it, but that's been disrespectful to St Rolfe. St Rolfe's come out on Saturday, fired up, started the game well, and they fully deserved, well, I don't think they deserved a draw at the end up because they were hanging on at the end up, but they did compete for most of the game, and they'll be delighted to it, getting two goals and the first point in the table. But we've got to learn, and I'm sure the manager did speak to them because they were locked in the dressing room for 10, 15 minutes after it. I couldn't get down the road with the strips because he's getting them verbal, and rightly so. But I'm quite sure that he was expressing the point to them. If you go to places like St Rocks, the atmosphere, you've got to fight. It can't all be pretty football all the time. And Mick was relaying that message to them, and obviously listen to him, because Wednesday night we come out and looked a different team altogether against Whitlitz.
Looking at your goals for before the game on Wednesday night, your goals for you've scored 10 goals. Sorry, you scored 11 goals against 10.
Yeah.
So you're no closing down at the back, John. So is the Meggett and the rest of that, they no settled in yet?
Well, the problem being you're talking about Ross Perry and Jason Maher, two central defenders having kicked the ball this season, three injuries in the pre-season matches. The right back, and sadly Lance Pearce, he'd done his elbow in, so he was out too. So it's a makeshift team. We're taking McDivitt out of the central midfield, put him into a makeshift centre-half role. And there's going to be kind of learning curves here, but the next couple of weeks' time we should be going back to full strength, and we'll get a better reason then when it happens.
Okay, let's talk about the Wednesday night then. Whitlitz 4-0, which was a great result for you, and you didn't lose any goals there, so big turnaround. So the talk on Saturday, did you think that bore fruit?
I think it did, yes. Plus, they welcomed back Willie Roberts in the middle of the park, and he made a difference in the middle of the park. Willie had been missing on Saturday, but Whitlitz had come up there full of confidence after their 2-1 victory over Cumbernauld on Saturday, so it was a hard game, but Mick had the players fired up from the first whistle, and it's a thing that's not been happening at Darwell the last few weeks. It's been taking the second half before they're really clicking, so they clicked from the first whistle Wednesday night, and hopefully they can carry on tomorrow against Cambus Lyne.
Well, you still got a lot to do to get promotion, John, never mind win it.
Oh, it's going to be a hard league. I mean, a lot of people, bookmakers as well, think just turn up and win it. That's not going to happen in that division.
No.
Too many good sides in that division.
Well, John, thanks for that just now. We'll also take a look back at last weekend's results, as well as a look ahead at tomorrow's fixtures if we get time, and we'll find out why the Beath game was on Sunday a little bit later. We all know why it was, John, don't we?
Yes, as I said today, it's confirmed by Kenny as well. And you want to speak about it just now?
Just do it. Well,
Kenny tells me that when they went last season to the West of Scotland Cup final to present the trophy, it was the old sponsor's name that was still on the trophy. But the new trophy hadn't arrived in time, so they decided to present that trophy to Beath, and they make a decision that the first team, Beath at home, in the next round, they'd make a presentation. And it worked out well, because thanks to Evan Meadow agreeing to change to Sunday, they could also do the draw live, which let everybody see it on Periscope and wherever else they saw it.
I watched it.
Yep, that's a good idea.
It's a brilliant idea.
It's maybe a good idea to go for. Maybe pick a game, and if both teams went to play on a Sunday, make the draw after the game.
Aye. Well, Sunday football for me is an idea, great idea.
Well, just
the trouble is, if you're working on a Monday and you maybe a couple of drinks, it might not be as good.
It's not to leave and drink, Bill, you know.
Is there?
I think. But that's a good point you made, because Kenny and I was actually speaking today about the same thing, and Kenny reiterated to me that he does not have a problem if any team wants to make it a Friday night or a Sunday game. If both teams are willing to change, Kenny will accommodate that. So that's good news. I think it's an earner. If
Of course it is.
Going forward, the club will have to have floodlights on doing a Friday night.
Aye.
But a Sunday, it could be a goer.
Yeah, Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff. It's a brilliant time to kick off.
Like you get for a couple of pints after it, Bill.
No, I'm not me. I don't drink, John.
All right. Just in case you start it.
Okay. John, we have guests.
We have guests tonight. Yes, Bill. And our guest tonight is the Larkhall Thistle management team of Brian Crawford and Kevin Brown. So I'd like to welcome to the show, lads.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, thanks for coming along, lads. It's a bit fair turnaround in your season this season from the last season, boys.
Well, it was a lot of work during the summer to get us to where we were, but it's still work in progress. Definitely work in progress. It's not, I wouldn't jump in and say we've got there yet. Time will tell.
But Kevin, looking at your League Cup section, I mean, East Kilbride, you beat them 3-0, you get beat with Blantyre Vicks 2-1, and then you get beat with Larkhall Thistle, you get beat with Glencairn 6-0, so you must have thought, oh no again, not at the same start as last time.
Well, we felt that at the time, but to be fair, in that League Cup section we struggled because we'd have two or three players are injured.
Right.
But that's not the excuse. We still had 11 players in the park and subs, so but it was disappointing. The Glencairn result was disappointing, but we felt we should have done better.
But, John?
I was just going to say, we can spend the next 15, 20 minutes speaking about Larkhall and yourselves, but could you just get insight to where your previous managerial career was, Brian and Kevin, or your playing career? Just for us, not so then Kenny we're talking to.
Brian doesn't again where his career played, where he started or finished.
Brian, we'll start with yourself.
I started Kirkluck Rovers Juniors when I was 17. And then from there I moved on to Falthouse after a couple of seasons, and then went to Cumbernauld after about a year, which I was there for about 4 months at Cumbernauld. Then I signed with Clyde. Two seasons at Clyde. From there I went up to Stenhouse Muir. And this is where my alliance with Kevin comes. Kevin was the first team coach there when I was there. And then after that, I went down to Stranraer for about 2 years. I was fortunate enough to win a league down there. So that's one of the greatest achievements, obviously, is getting a league winner's medal.
Aye.
So,
who managed you down at Stranraer?
Neil Watt and Stuart Mann. I played with Stuart at Kirkluck previously and Cumbernauld.
Neil and Watt known for the Mary Hill situation and the junior scene up there, and this year you know a few players.
There was quite a few ex-juniors played in the team when I was there, and with a great side there. Everyone was his friends, and we'd done a lot of socialising together, which I think that's what proved a bit successful with that. So it did.
And then in 2005, you went back and went to the juniors, according to this, and you played for Shorts Monaghan for a couple of seasons.
I did.
Who was your manager?
Stan Murdoch.
Oh, it's no, Stan. Oh, aye. Aye. Ian Murdoch.
Ian, aye. Let's call him.
Everybody knows about Stan. Aye.
Was that big Sinky there about that?
He was Sinky. He was assistant manager when I was there. Aye.
Sinky played with him, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I think he left Cumberland, went to Shorts.
That's right, aye.
I know, I was... For there, I ended up floating about a few junior clubs because I got an injury. Mm-hmm. When I was up there, I tore my cruciate. So I was out for a while, about 7 months. Then I come back and done it 2 months later. Mm. And after that, it was time to call it a day. Mm. I think it was about 27, 28 at the time. But
did you finish at fourth?
No, what happened at fourth there, how I got to fourth was big Paul Anderson. You know,
yeah, I know Paul. Like, he was the wishing manager.
Paul took over at fourth, and obviously I wasn't playing or anything like that, and he'd asked me to go up to fourth with him. And, you know, that way when you go, you're no going to play.
No.
And I ended up playing a few games, but work, I ended up getting away to work, so that was me kind of finished at that point.
Yourself, Kevin?
I broke my leg at 17, so that was my career out the window right away. But I started coaching for many years with Albion Rovers, taking the youth teams. And then John McVeigh came on the scene at Albion Rovers with the first team and asked me to come in with coaching staff. And then from there, Sten and Schmuir. That's where we met Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we left Sten and Schmuir. I went to Lanark with John McVeigh as well. And... before that, actually...
Did you know what started on Albion... No, Albion Rovers with Big John?
Aye, that's when we started off. But just before we went to Lanark, I had the Colton S job before they became New Mains.
Right.
That was a hard task. That was a real hard task, that was.
That's but, where I remember you from, Kevin. I couldn't put my finger on it where it was, but it was at Colton S. Aye. So you folded them?
No, they folded after I left.
I'm only kidding. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Did you find a big difference moving into juniors after being involved with seniors?
No, not really. No, I found it not too bad. When I went to Colton S, I took the majority of the Sten and Schmuir youth team with me.
Right.
Because the club were freeing them all anyway, and they were all decent players, so I took about 12, 14 of them. And they did reasonably well, considering Colton S were getting battered 10 and 11 nothing every week.
Yeah, aye.
We get the first 3 points, my first points on the board for 3 years when we went in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a shame because it ended up with the Wishaw management team getting sacked because we drew with them on the Saturday and then we beat them in the League Cup section in the midweek.
Uh-huh.
And it was Jimmy Kerr and... I can't remember the assistant's name. He was at Auburn Rovers as well, but...
That was before my time. That was a couple of years just before I arrived.
I think it was when the floods were involved.
Aye.
But both of them, they were sacked.
Des and John.
You know, but that was the first three points that Colton S had on the board for years.
Had Campbell Money been involved at Stenish Muir at the same time?
Campbell Money came in after us.
After us, because I know Campbell took a few of the youth down to Ayrshire to come there and place like that.
John McVeigh had me in there doing the youth development and... after BLF Campbell came in and took over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Right, okay then. We'll look at your league campaign then. You started off with Girvan, you beat them 4-3. Then Carluke beat you 3-1. You went to Port Glasgow and you had 2-2 draw. And then you go and beat the Gow 3-2. Now, that was a good result, massive result, because they're one of the favourites to be up there challenging this season.
Aye. That was... pleasing.
Aye.
Because we had 10 men for 65 minutes roughly. Mm-hmm. We conceded early all that day. We conceded about 7 minutes. We conceded it. Don't get me wrong, good goal for the Gow.
Mm-hmm.
The play was good, but we could have done better, to be honest.
Aye.
And then we get David sent off, which was unfortunate, I would say. But we battled, we worked hard. But our biggest problem is we're no starting the games in the first half. We're no starting, so we're giving ourselves a task if we concede a goal for half time on. But we managed to get a goal back and level one each at half time. And the boys come back out and I said, it's going to be difficult now. You'll need to really sleeves up and work hard here, give it everything you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't fault them, they're absolutely outstanding. And they make it a wee bit sweeter, we scored in the last kick of the ball. So the jubilation at that point was a bit of relief, excitement, everything, to be honest with you. So I was pleasing because the Gower, they knew what they were doing. The Gower set up properly.
Looking at your team selections and such, like, you've brought in virtually a new team, have you know?
Aye, for last season. We've got a squad of 22 players now, but with a lot of young lads for last season. So what we've done during the pre-season, we spoke to the club at the end of the season. We started up another 21s set up, and the club have bought into that and they backed us on it.
Right.
And a few of the boys that played with us last season in the first team have now went to the 21s, which is great because at the times last season we struggled to put a team in the park.
Aye.
So with that, you've got an option to bring them in.
Of course you have.
That's what I was going to say to you, Brian. I mean, I would say looking in last season, it looks as if you're just getting anybody just to keep the club alive last season.
Aye.
The young boys in it, and so it was great. A lot of hard work happened in the close season, obviously. On and off the park, because as I look at the park the other week, then it's looking 100 times better than it was the last time I was up at it.
Park, the work that's getting done in the park is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
And the surface, they now, it's the best I've ever seen it. And that's all down to Malky and Davey. They do a lot of work in that park daily. And hats off to them because it's a pleasure.
Let's be honest, if it wasn't for people like them, then the juniors wouldn't be here.
Exactly. You know? And that's how, as a management, we appreciate that, going out there.
Yeah.
And I know the boys do. Getting out there onto that surface, and it's great. Surface is superb, and that's their hard work.
Aye.
And it must be a good club, Kevin, because I'm looking to see Big Gracie's come back to you now. Many a club we went to sign him. He left Larkhall, was it Cumnock he went to, I think, or something?
He left Larkhall, but he went to Albion Rovers first. Played a few first team games, and then he went to Cumnock. He got a nasty injury at Cumnock, if my memory serves me correct, but. We kind of approached him, and I didn't think twice about it. But he's
travelling's got to kill him if he's a local art call boy going down there two nights a week plus a Saturday. It must be murder for him.
I think there's a lot of boys in that position, to be honest, Bill. But I'd spoke to Graham because he was coming to some of our games because he was injured and stuff. I was speaking to him after it, and I think the travelling is the hardest part, especially. After you've been at your work all day, then you're having to go down and train and getting maybe in the house after 10, 11 o'clock at night, and then you're up again first thing in the morning to go to work.
Aye.
And I think it was maybe one of the advantages for me that he was a local lad, he's played there before, and he didn't want to do the travelling. So
I think you've been a bit unfair in yourself there, because unless Mahago and plays that, there's not a lot of travelling. There's plenty of teams around about you could have signed for, so I think you might be disrespectful to yourself there, Brian. I think you've done well to and take some back to the club.
I just mean possibly at the higher level and bigger clubs, further away they are travelling, which helped me possibly, I'm saying, in that aspect. But no, I was delighted to get Graham, delighted. We played in a wee charity match the start of June, and I kind of was in his ear again and nip him.
As you do.
You need to do what you've got to do. But no, Graham was one of the guys that I'd set my stall out that I was very interested in. And I'm delighted that we got it over the line.
And are you enjoying your role, Kev, at the club?
Oh, without a doubt, it's a great club. Great people at the club, the work, the people put in, it's absolutely amazing. And the fans are brilliant as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. We get 100% backing all the time, it's fantastic.
See, when you went in at first though, Brian, did you have a look around about and say, right, we need to change this, we need to change that? And you obviously spoke to Brian about that. So... Is that what you did, Kevin, when you went in? You seen things that need change for your senior career?
Well, when I first went in, Brian had said to me, he says, listen, he says, you fancy coming into Larkhall as my assistant?
And you laughed.
I says, I don't have a problem with that. I said, I'd be delighted to do that. He said, well, I'll go and have a look at them. He says, on Saturday, Brian was on holiday in Benburb, the rain was lashing down. It was absolutely soaked through the skin. And I phoned him two or three times. Obviously, he's on holiday, so he's not going to answer his phone. And he ends up phoning me back. I've just got your voice message. And I said to him, what's the score? I says, they're getting beat 12-1. Are you having a laugh taking this job on? So you must be off your nut. But to be fair, we've done a job, and hopefully we're going to continue with it being successful.
Well, joint second top back division after five games. I mean, who'd have thought that a couple of seasons ago, or even last season
especially last season. You started off real poor last season, but this season you've got after a good start, and you've got Lanark, who are again fancied because they're in the semi-final of the sectional league cup. So another tough game for you, Brian.
It was a tough game Wednesday night.
Aye.
Conditions weren't the best.
No.
Wind, rain. But if I'm being honest, we didn't play our best, Bill. But what we did, mm-hmm. we were resolute and we worked. Every single boy put their body in the line for the team on Wednesday night. And sometimes you don't play pretty football. And
especially in weather like that.
No, definitely. Mm-hmm. But the effort and everything for the boys was, you couldn't ask for any more. And they came away from Lanark with a 3-0 victory with the start they've had and the
exactly
teams that they've
right.
beat in games. And mm-hmm. I know you're delighted there, but it just shows you that boys, when they put their mind to it and they buy into what you're trying to achieve,
of course,
it's possible.
You've set a standard there, Brian, because there's not many teams that go to Lanark and come away with a 3-0 victory.
Well, of course not.
Well, I said that place. To the boys after the mm-hmm. game, and what I said to them was, you've set the bar there.
Yes.
We can't drop below there, but we still need to push on. We need to work harder. And we started the game properly. As I said earlier on there, that we weren't starting games, but we started the game properly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they need to start every game now.
So tomorrow you've got Greenock and you're top of the table class then?
Mm-hmm. Another tough tie.
Aye.
Another tough game. But at the end of the day, every game's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Every game's tough. It's how you approach it.
If you get a full squad to pick for guys, can you say?
No.
You're not going
you
to
can't
say.
You can't say you haven't got one.
Truth be told, but I'll be honest, I've not a full squad all season.
Have you not? Well, that's credit to your players then, Brian. It's good to be, you know.
But it's fortunate enough we've got a big squad. And as you said earlier on about the injuries down at Darvel,
mm-hmm.
People have come in and they've done a job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you need the big squad, and that's why we've got it.
Before we go to a wee break, I'm going to ask you this question, guys. What's the club's ambition? Is it consolidating the league and build for a challenge next season, or do you want to challenge this season?
From my point of view, I want to challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin's point of view.
Aye, I would agree with that, definitely.
And the club would like to challenge.
Aye.
But we'll take each game as it comes, and we'll work hard, we'll make sure the boys know what we're after. Mm-hmm. They do know the now,
mm-hmm.
but we'll continue to tell them what we expect and what levels we want to stay at.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's take a wee short break, boys, and when we come back, we'll talk about a couple of things that I would like to chat about, John. One of them's Darvel player getting sent off.
Been the arm.
I'll tell you about that too. And a Meadow player who gets sent off and get a double ban, and I'll tell you about that as well. And what about the Auchinleck player that nearly got a game in the cup tie against Dundee and Bluebell when a fan turned and told him he no suspend it? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Rock Sport Radio.
Love music. Live sport. Just the Juniors with Bill Kilgour and John Redmond on Rock Sport Radio.
Welcome back. We're in conversation with Brian Crawford and Kevin Brown, the management team of Larkhall Thistle. Before we take a look at last weekend's results, John, let's talk about Darvel's Kieran Knapp getting sent off.
What about his goal? No, talk about that. That's better to talk about.
No, like the goal doesn't count.
No.
Go on, John.
Right, you're all done off.
Before you go, let me say, I watched it in the video.
Right.
And it looks horrendous. The ball was away and the guy went through him. That's what it looks like on video.
There's worse happens at Sunday School trip. There's worse happens at Sunday School trip, I'm telling you.
Come on, John.
No way.
Get that bonnet off and get your journalist hat on here. Is it not a definitely straight red card?
It went
viral, by the way.
It was too far away from me to see it, Bill. I was at their side of the park. I see how he did react, yes, and the red card was justified.
But
the viral bit, that was nonsense. Right. I mean, that was...
Mick came out and actually said in the paper, the local press down there, that he was disappointed and the boys disappointed as well. And he's put himself out of the team.
That's the problem. He's been struggling to complete 90 minutes because he's moved up for amateurs and his fitness just wasn't great.
Right.
In the last couple of weeks he's just starting to come good, scoring goals, mm-hmm. and he's put himself out for a 2-game ban now because at 3-0 up, I think that was the Angerson part of Mick's part.
Aye, of course.
Getting ordered off, and they'd only made a substitution 5 minutes before that as well. What happened, I don't really sure, but as I said, it was outside the park. I just saw the ball getting kind of kicked about and mm-hmm. he had lashed out, and the referee was only 5 yards away, so the ordering off is maybe justified, but The viral thing, ugh, I haven't seen that. Don't watch it.
Don't watch it. No, it's against your team.
No, it's not. I'd be honest if I saw it and tell you.
I saw you, man.
Actually, the goalie scored it. Man, a goalie boy scored it. Fantastic.
Right, right. Okay, it was a great goal. Let's move on. Okay, what about the Hockey Lake Talbot player? You know this story, John, don't you?
I want to push this team into work. They went to Dundonald a couple of weeks ago in the Scottish Cup, and they were just all about to get players stripped. And one of the spectators noticed that Neil McPherson, the central defender, was getting stripped and happened to mention, is Neil not suspended? And then when they went and checked, it turns out he was suspended because I think it's because they'd played Tynecastle so long ago and the Scottish Cup must have carried on and there was a slight oversight. But I just see how easy it can slip through, isn't it?
Of course.
The likes of Auchinleck Talbot nearly get caught at it. Yeah, so,
can you just imagine that he played the game and he was banned and went down the blue got it to beat it?
Aye,
they kicked it.
That's right, and then they won 6-1 on Saturday. Aye. But it's 8-1. Was it?
8-1, aye. Against Troon, 8-1 against.
Oh, no, against Dundonald.
Oh, Dundonald, aye. Okay, 6.
Oh,
I thought you were talking about Troon again, John, your ex club.
I didn't see that either.
Okay, the other one I wanted to talk about is Irvine Meadow. Jordan Maguire, he gets sent off now. Right. We all know that if you're taking a throw in, you throw it and it hits the player in the back or any part of his body, the ball comes to you, it's in play.
Yes.
Right? Well, seemingly, allegedly, he threw the ball and it hit the player's head. Uh-huh. And he got the ball at his feet, but the referee ran over and brandished the red card and he said it was violent conduct. So, the story goes that they appealed it.
Right.
As you do, and as you know, if you appeal a game, the ban doesn't start until after the hearing. Uh-huh. Well, they had the hearing on the Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Seemingly, Irvine Meadow had sent everything in and video evidence as well. Mm-hmm. And they never heard anything on the Tuesday night, so they thought everything was
okay
to go ahead and play the boy. So on Wednesday morning, 20 past nine, seemingly, he gets a phone call from the disciplinary panel saying that your Jordan's been... got a double ban, he's got another two games added on to his ban, and it starts tonight because the appeal was frivolous.
Right.
And it was thrown out, and of course Brian McGinty, he's went to town everywhere and all the rest of it. Uh-huh. The referee doesn't know the rules and all this kind of stuff and one thing or another. Mm-hmm. But he says he was disappointed in the fact that the representative who does the Twitter for the Scottish Junior Football Association says it was a controversial decision.
Right.
So he's got that in his back pocket as well, but it seems to be, it's not happened. Yeah. So what's your take on that, boys?
Well, first and foremost, my take is, well, no, if you appeal, you can't double your sentence.
Yep.
So I'm not surprised that happened. If they found it didn't have help, he'll hold it. So that's fine. Northern off, I'm not so sure about it, though. I've seen it happen for years, coming off of Sunday. Even if you don't deliberately do it, but it's an opposition player's back in play.
Aye, that's right.
So I think it's a bit of kind of... poor other north.
Aye, well, according to him, it's a violent act. Right. Well, I can't see it was violent. The player never even been down. He turned and looked at the guy saying, "What are you doing?"
Aye.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Boys, what do you think of that?
I'm sure I've seen that before, Bill, on TV. Mm-hmm. The guy has took a quick throw off the opponent.
That's right.
And took the ball.
Aye.
Is there any law saying you can't do that?
There's no law saying you can't do it. It's the interpretation of the referee. Whether he thinks it's a violent conduct or whether it's okay to let him go ahead. So that's the kind of situation we're
in. Well, I think if I was playing and I could get away with that to achieve a bit of an advantage to myself, I would try it.
Of course we would all try it. You know.
It's the double sentence that gets me because obviously it's a genuine appeal.
Aye.
So why not just say, oh, the appeal's standing and you're getting a two-game ban? Why give the guy four games?
Well, they're
trying to discourage people from appealing.
Exactly. That's the reason for it. 99% sure, I can't guarantee that, but I'm 99% sure that is why they're doing it. It's to stop people appealing for stupid things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nonsense. We've got to a democratic world where we've got to get a chance to appeal if we think we're innocent.
What's democratic about that?
Okay.
Let's look at last weekend's results and we'll start with Saturday, John. We'll start with the Premiership. Boys, you can get your glasses on now, guys. You know, you can see better.
Not just to talk to the mic, Kevin.
I didn't want to mention you, Kevin, but let's look at Saturday's then, the 17th of August. Glenafton 2, Rutherglen Glencairn 1. John, we'll start with you.
A huge result for Glenafton. They've been struggling at the start of the season. Southie was getting under a bit of pressure there, but that's a good 3 points. It moves them up just above the kind of bottom four or five in that division. And Glencairn, they've had a fantastic start this season, and going down to a place like Glenafton and only losing by 2-1. Because I like the sand, how good a side Glencairn are going to be this year, and they're going to take a bit of beating.
Aye, definitely got to take a bit of beating.
Yeah.
This is a cracking result for Kilburnie, Brian. Kilburnie lead side 1, Pollock 0. I didn't give that one to John because the Kilburnie fans don't like him.
For some reason, I don't know why. I'm quite sure they'll tell you.
Massive result. Aye. You know, that Kilburnie, we seen them towards the end of last season in a friendly, and they were playing Bells Hill. And I watched the game at DL Park, and they just didn't look like a Kilburnie side a few years ago.
No.
It just didn't seem the same. And getting into the games this season, I thought they maybe struggle, but to go away to get that victory at home against Pollock's a massive result, and that maybe change that, maybe kick on for that.
You would think they would kick on for that.
I hope so.
But you know, Murnie would be disappointed getting beat 1-0 down there.
Definitely. And Pollock are the type of team that they're looking to win every game.
Aye.
And they're disappointed if they lose.
Yep.
So that'll be a blow to them. That'll be a blow.
Kevin, let's look at Kilwinning 1, Bembard 0 now. Strain, you know, Chris Strain down there, he's got the boys playing really well, but Bembard, they're a team that very difficult to beat.
I'm very surprised at Bembard when I just look at that there and I see that they've only won one game, because they were a very good side in the Championship last year, because they scored goals for fun. Am I right, Brian?
Aye. No, definitely.
It's quite surprising that they've only won the one game, but I mean, the score there was only 1-0 to Kilwinning Rangers, but Kilwinning Rangers are a very good side, well organised. But Bembard are good organised as well.
But Chrissy's got them playing really good football at the minute. John, let's look at Kirkintilloch Robroy 0, Cumnock 2. Now, Kirkintilloch Robroy have a poor start to the season. They haven't got any points yet.
Surprised me. I mean, I don't know what's happened there. It'd be interesting if we get a hold of matches soon just to see what's actually happening at Robroy, because I'd have lost my mortgage in that one. At 5 games into the season, they hadn't won a game. And I'd have
even got a point.
Or a point even, because they were a good side last year, Rob Roy. I don't know what's happened in the close season or start of the season. Well, it's, like the rest of the teams, it's a lot of injuries and things like that. But
maybe some players have moved on and things like that.
You never know, Bill.
Maybe able to bring in players the equivalent or better.
But I was still mentioning there about a lot of games getting played, but it's going to bring in a high also, but just to deviate slightly for that, Bill. For years we've been moaning here about we're playing 10 games in a season, can we start the season quicker? Kenny Young now starts the season quicker, and we've got players moaning they're playing too many games, 3 games a week. They can't win. No, it's absolute nonsense. There's managers making excuses that too many games, we'll get players. But every team's playing the same amount of games, so it's a level playing field. So that's my rant on that. But let me go back to Rob Roy. Look, Cumnock, I mean, they took a heavy defeat a couple of years ago for Kilburnie, 8-0 or something. And we look at the league table now, and they're sitting there something fifth top of that division. So Paul Burns is now starting to get his team playing.
Aye.
To go to Rob Roy, it doesn't matter how poor Rob Roy are, it's a difficult place to go, and to come away with 3 points, they can take a lot of credit out of that, can come up.
Aye. Brian, let's look at Larks Thistle 3. Harrowford 2. Dan will be disappointed with that, but we are now a bit cock-a-hoop about the 3-2 result.
Oh, definitely. It's again, Darren will be getting into games thinking that he'll win every game as well. That's Darren's mentality and things like that. So for him to go down and Lars to beat them 3-2, Lars will be delighted, over the moon.
I was talking to Darren before the Hereford game, and he was saying he would hope to get after the same start as he got after last season. And
13 games undefeated.
Undefeated, and he started well, but that's his first defeat, so... Is that his bubble burst?
No, definitely.
if you're listening, Darren, I'm only kidding, mate. Let's look at Troon 2, Clydebank 0.
I'm quite surprised at that, because there was a lot of hype at the start of the season in the press that Clydebank were wanting to do this and wanting to do that. But I'm just looking at the league table there, and they've only won one game, and they lost that one on Saturday when Troon were below them. So it's quite surprising. I thought Clydebank would have pushed on from last season.
Well, everybody thinks that the way they've got their new part and all the rest of it, would settle in all the rest of it. But it's just not happened for them at all, John.
No, I think they played well against Pollock in the midweek previous to Troon game, so they turned a bit of confidence. But then, like Kevin, when they went to Troon, Troon had suffered a heavy defeat from Whitlitz on the Monday night, I think it was. And then expecting them to struggle. But I'm saying that, I was mentioning about players, but I know Troon had a couple... players back that had been missing the midweek games. Mm-hmm. But but 2-0, I was very surprised that result came through. Fortune to get the 3 points. I'm a great lover of Clydebank. When they play football, they're a good football inside.
Yeah, certainly are. Rossville, Auchinleck was postponed due to the Scottish Cup, the big Scottish Cup. Beath 1, John. Irvine Meadow 2.
Well, who'd have thought?
Sunday game.
A Sunday game, yep. Aye, good crowd, I heard as well. So good. It's maybe worth trying for somebody.
I haven't got the figures, but
I heard it was a healthy turnout. And it's good for the Beath boys to get that because they're a great committee down there with Big John and John Bowen and all the boys down there. They work very hard. Mm-hmm. But on the playing side, I mean, 4 games in, haven't they got a win under their belt yet? And that's a surprising start for a team, isn't it? I mean,
second Bolton, and they're struggling. They really are.
The only thing I would say for the likes of the teams down there beside them, like Troon, Ross Vale, Rob Roy and Clydebank, is Beath will improve. Not a good sign for them because they're too good a side not to be able to for them.
Let's move into the Wednesday then, games. Brian, Auchinleck 8, Troon 1. Big John sitting there. I mean, that was his old team, his old club, and he used to look after him and all the rest of it, but he's struggling a wee bit. And Johnny Bailey, there are a lot of people asking for his head already, and it's only something like 5 games in.
I think that's a bit harsh, asking for a manager's head season. Mm-hmm. It takes time. It's not something that happens overnight.
But 8-1.
Yeah. I've been there, Bill. Mm-hmm. I've been there. Right. Doesn't make it any easier.
No.
But it's how they bounce back for it.
Aye.
At the end of the day, Auchinleck are capable of doing that to most teams.
Aye.
So it's how they bounce back for that.
Obviously, maybe Big Johnny, maybe had a couple of players missing, etc. You don't know.
I know he did have a couple of under 19 boys out. It's like a bump. It's a bump. There's not fire.
You don't put 18, 19 year old players out against Auchinleck.
But on the other side, you can only beat what's in front of you and create the Auchinleck talent because they didn't they just take the foot off the gas. They kept going for more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And then they went 10. I mean, 8.
Kevin, Bember nil, Beath nil. Again, no another point for Beath. They struggled.
Aye, but when I'm looking at the league table there, and when you see Bember last year were flying, they were scoring goals for fun. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, I mean, Beath might be sitting second bottom, but they've only conceded 4 goals in 4 games.
Good point, Kevin.
That's a plus for Beath if they've only conceded that amount of goals, but they're not scoring either. They've only scored 1.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bember, they've scored 5 and conceded 5 in five games, which is a big surprise considering the goal scoring points they had last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And John, Clydebank 5, Kilburnie 2.
We're just looking at the results there, but that kind of just sums up what midweek games are about. Mm-hmm. There's Troon beat Clydebank on a Saturday. They go to Auckland, lose 8 goals. Kilburnie beat Pollock 1-0, and then they go to Clydebank, a team that beat in the Saturday, and lost 5 goals there. Is it travelling? Is it players kind of make it through work situation?
I think it's everything like that.
I think we've got a few funny results in midweek. Right. But
and I'm glad the midweek games are early at the minute because it's horrendous trying to get it. I mean, it took us an hour to get from Motherwell to Arthurlee on Wednesday night.
An hour.
It's just horrendous, Okay, Brian, Cumnock Juniors 2, Largs Thistle 2. That's a good result for Cumnock again, considering that Arnie was in the Scottish Cup final last season.
When you look at it, but they've only picked up 1 point in the last 2 games, and their league position sitting 5th. So if they'd have picked up maybe another couple of points, they'd have been right up there. Mm-hmm. They've been right up there on 11, 12 points. But again, it's not a defeat. And Largs, they'll be happy getting a 2-2 draw there as well.
Mm-hmm. Going to Hereford now, Kevin. Hereford 2, Glen Afton 0. So swings and roundabout. Midweek games, John, as you say, throw up some stupid results.
I think I would have expected that result because Hereford, they're doing all right. They're sitting with third top in that league. Whereas Troon, they're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're down in
Glen Afton.
They're struggling. Not near enough the bottom, but they're about 5th or 6th bottom. But that's a fair result. For the opposition.
Yeah. John, Irvine Meadow 2, Rossville 1. The Moff's getting it tough down there.
He's finding it hard in the Premiership, but saying that, Big Brian's in a good start this season. Yep. That's what crossed him last season. We've spoken in the show many times how poor a start Irvine Meadow made to last season's campaign. They've got a good start this season. They're sitting up there in what, 4th top, only 3 points off the top place, 5 games played, so to go to Beath and then to beat Ross Vale, consecutive games, they've got a good squad about this season, have the merit.
Okay. And we're looking at Pollock Brian 5, Kirtintilla Croagh Broy 1, another heavy defeat for Kirtintilla.
Aye, it is, definitely is, but I'm sure Maxie and Giggsy will turn that around in there. They've got good experience, guys, and they know, played against them at the end of the start of last season, and they were well organised, good side. They'll turn that around. The two guys will get that. They'll get that right.
Aye. Rutherglen Glencairn 4, Kilwinnan Rangers 5.
That doesn't surprise me because both teams can score goals for fun. Rutherglen Glencairn last season in the Championship, they were absolutely outstanding. And as you can see, Kilwinnan, they're flying high at the top of the league. So that must have been a right good game to watch as a spectator.
That one,
Nine goals.
I've seen a thing there yesterday in the press at Kilwinnan Rangers. Chris Strain, the manager, was going to the local schools. They had not free season tickets to all their kids to try and get them along to Pennyburn. So it's a great move.
Great for junior football.
So they're working hard off the park as well as on the park of the bus.
There's a lot of teams try that as well. We tried it at Wishaw and it worked for a couple of seasons, but then it fell away again. So we went back run again and tried it as well. And they tried it at Larkhall as well, if I remember correctly, a couple of seasons ago, maybe 3 seasons ago. Aye, they tried it too. It can be successful, but you've got to keep it going. You've got to go every season and make sure that the kids get the tickets.
Right.
That's the only way it works for me, John, to be honest.
It's a good gesture, though.
Oh, a great gesture. Let's look at the West Championship then. Saturday, we'll go with you, John, because you're going near Amora. I'm sending you to the right place now. Cambuslang Rangers 3, Petershill 2.
Cambuslang made a good start. We have made a fantastic start this season there. He's up there, fourth top of division now. But Petershill, well, they'll be pulling the hair out. Well, hair he's got left anyway. He lost a lot of players in the close season and he's rebuilding and it's going to take a bit of time. But I think a good result was a couple of years ago. I just forget who it was against. But on the whole, they've been struggling quite bad just now. And
I was disappointed when we played them. We beat them the first game of the season. We beat them 5-0. 5-0. It was, and we could have scored a couple more, to be honest, if they'd taken their chances. But after that, they came out, they had two victories in a throw after that, and you thought they turned the corner, but it's starting to go back the way a wee bit again, John.
Except a couple of defeats Wednesday and Saturday.
Irvine Vicks 0, Neilston 1, Brian. Neilston keep turning out the results.
We played both of the teams last season, obviously. Neilston was where we got our first victory, in at Neilston. That's where we got our first victory last year, in at Neilston.
Wouldn't they be happy with that?
No, it was 3-2 and it was a great game. But that's a good victory because Irvine's a stuffy place to go.
Is it a small park, John?
A wee tight park,
I mean, you've got a park like Neilson's Park, which is big and expansive. It's tough. It's tough to go to a wee park.
The surfaces are totally different. Neilson's got a great surface. Irvine's isn't the best. So it's a great away win for them.
Kilsyth 3, Craigmark 2, Kevin.
That's two of the teams that we played last season as well. And to be fair, both of them play good football. But I'm just looking at Kilsyth, look as if they're doing not too bad. But Craigmark have got off to a bad start. They've only won one game. But two of them are no bad sides, so it's early doors for them.
John, that's one of your old teams that you managed. Do you have any insight in that?
I'd heard there were a couple of players missing for Craig Martin, but of course, I had a hard side this season. They've got a good team of them, and I think Craig Martin were looking. I mean, Craig Martin have brought in about 7 or 8 new players this season, and they've spent a bit of money.
Maybe take a wee time to bed in.
Many a team will go to Kilsyth and not come away with nothing because it's a hard venue to go to.
Well, we played Craig Martin the last game of the season last season, and they had a far changed side from what we played earlier in the season, and They were a good side. They look as if they would do well this year. I thought they've changed a lot of their bodies and they'll do well.
They look good against us, but we had a lot of young boys playing in that game because we had quite a few players out injured. So to bring the young boys in,
John, Renfrew 2, Gartcairn 1.
Renfrew, we played them the first game of the season. I was impressed by Renfrew. They played good football. We beat them 4-3 that day. But Renfrew were one of the teams that were competing at the top of the division once it settles down. Gartcairn there find that life a bit difficult since they get promoted this season. They've only won one game, a couple of draws, so they'll be wanting to get some more results from the table very soon.
I'm hearing that Jamie's working really hard to get players in.
He will be. Jamie's late. Jamie will be working day and night to get players in. If anybody can get them, he's a man.
I think he's had a few boys missing. I spoke to him on the phone, and he said he's had a few guys out and that, so He'll get the right players in.
As long as he's got two or three out the morning, he's shorts a bit of a chance. Moving on to shorts three, Dalry Thistle two. I'll gauge a wee rundown on that one.
Let's hear your bias of bringing in this one.
I was at it. Shorts went in at half time, 3-0 up. Right?
3-0?
3-0 up. And we're really going for it. We came back out in the second half and we hit the crossbar in the first minute, the second half. They boot the ball up the back, our defender misses it completely, the wee guy gets in, nips it back, cuts it back, and the guy scores a goal. 2 minutes later, he scores a second.
Squeaky bum time.
Squeaky bum time. I'm not kidding you, for a while, Shorts were hanging on. They really were hanging on. It just lost all confidence and shape and things like that. But they held on to get the victory, but that was the kind of thing it was. And I spoke to Gavin after it, and Gavin had this to say, if I can find this button, where it, oh, there it's there, it's not working very well. This is what Gavin had to say.
We dug in second half, we come back into it, but again, it was a hard luck story, same as Renfrew. We let them get 3 or 4 in front, and then we start playing, and we say, right, we need to continue that into the next game. But again, the elements of the day had a lot to play in it. Against the win the first half, we wanted to keep it tight up to half time. If you're doing 1-0 or 2-0 worst case scenario, I still thought we had a good chance, because I knew we would weigh the wind when we started to play, and it was proved right. The third goal just before half time was just a step too far, although we had enough chances to get 4 or 5. And again, Shorts had a good chance at 3-0 to make it 4, never took it. We went up 3-1, so wee bits in the game pumped it. Wee bits as usual, but I've seen we've got a young team.
Is that the reason why the young team is inconsistency?
So a lot of new players in my team, so that's probably the first week I've had a kind of reasonable squad. Still not got a full squad because it's big game, but it'll take us a few weeks to settle down. We've no get going yet at all. We played well with a wee bit of energy against Beath and Coburn and Narda, and then we've kind of just finding our feet again back. So it's a wee bit of new players, a wee bit of experience, a wee bit of everything. But we've done all right. But an air hard luck story, I would have said.
But then they go and they beat St Rocks 6-5, John.
A 5-0 up in that game at one point.
But St Rocks came back. I mean, that's a great, must be a great spectacle for a neutral to go and watch that.
It's junior football, that's what you keep promoting, isn't it? That's what all the neutrals want to go along, taking junior games. I mean, a senior rubbish, get the juniors, watch the games. £6 worth. Aye. Best £6 you'll be doing a Saturday.
Of course it is.
Especially at Darvel.
Aye, okay.
And good pies, I mean.
Right then, Brian, I'm coming to you. St Rocks 2, Darvel 2. Oh.
What you're saying, Brian? I'm quite close to you.
We dug in, we come back into it. But
I expected Darvel to win the game, to be honest. No being disrespectful to St Rocks in any way, but I thought Darvel would have went there and won the game, so we're a wee bit disappointed with that, John, will you know?
We're slightly.
Slightly.
Ever so slightly.
But Gary Flint does a good job in there, Gary, and it's the Rock.
Aye, Andy and Gary work really well together. Mm-hmm.
Stephen Rankin's here as well.
Stevie's still there, too. Aye, and
I've got plenty of experience.
As I was going to say, Stevie's got a lot of experience down the road there.
That's the first time being at St Rocks for a while, and I was impressed by the work that's getting done about the place and the way the committee works hard there.
Is the away changing room better than yours, John?
Than our away dressing room, yes, or our home one?
No, away dressing room.
It's better than the wee dressing room. Ours isn't the best, the wee dressing room.
You notice I didn't say the him dressing room. You know I'm only kidding, John.
I know that, Bill. I know that. So, yeah.
Kevin, Whitlets 2, Cumbernauld United 1. That's a surprise, because Cumbernauld is up there. They're flying.
That's a big surprise, because I thought Cumbernauld would have scored a few goals against Whitlets. We played Whitlets last season. Mm-hmm. We did really well against Whitlets at home. But that is a surprise. Whitlets must have turned it around a wee bit, so they maybe got some new bodies on board.
Aye, and that's what you're thinking, because they won that game and then they go to play Darvel, and Darvel beat them 4-0. So it's like you said, your games are up and doing all over the place at midweek. John, we'll go back to you then, and we'll get into the Wednesday game. Atherley 3, Shorts 0. I'm not even going to start there. I wanted the game at half time. It was 3-0 at half time, going on a lot more goals. Team had injuries and players missing because midweek and all the rest of it, but that's no excuse. The boys didn't start right, so
I was surprised if that result came through, because as we played Shorts a couple of weeks ago and I was impressed by Shorts that day we played them well. Was
again, we had our big centre half missing, we had a couple of guys getting a wee bit of injuries, and you know, that is, you know, Junior, you've seen him, he's a good player, he marshals that defence, and he's not there, it's a wee bit difficult for him. John, Craig Mark 3, Irvin Vicks 3.
Well, Irvin Vicks are a surprise package in that league so far this season. My eyes, I mean, Brian McCluckie is like Brian and Kevin here. had to run with under 21 and young boys this season because there's not a lot of money about having. But as we say, Craig Mark, it's always difficult to do at Station Park, and they've been spending a bit of money this season. So I was expecting Craig Mark to get the 3 points, but I just showed you, it's a line of sand as far as I was concerned, so that was all coming through with Irvine Vicks. They maybe upset a few teams this season.
Yeah. Cumbernauld United 5, Cambuslang Rangers 1. So Cumbernauld United bounce back. Cambuslang Rangers must have been struggling for players. That's the only thing I can think of.
I think you're being a bit disrespectful to Cumbernauld there, Bill. The two of them were sitting...
No, Andy's coming in shortly, so I'll not be disrespectful.
Both of them were sitting up there, 9 points for that game. And, but the score line's maybe a wee bit of a surprise, 5-1 to me.
Yeah.
But, I was expecting a good game there, good game. And it looks as if it has been for Cumbernauld more than Cambuslang.
Aye. We spoke about the Rye against St Roch, so let's go to Gatcairn 4, Blantyre 4, Kevin.
That's a good result for Jamie because they were struggling a wee bit, and I think that maybe kick their season off in a good way, because Jamie McKenzie works hard with his team and deserves all the credit that he gets. But hopefully getting a 4 each row against Blantyre is good, because Blantyre were a very good side last season.
Without a doubt. John, let's talk to you about Darvel 4, Whitlets 0. You guys are rundown in the team, please, the team performance.
As I say, we started the game very well. We made a couple of goals up quite early and a few more chances to increase it before half time. But I was disappointed in Whitlets and their performance. They looked very kind of lacklustre. As I said, they've come off a 2-1 victory over Cumbernauld and we expect them to be fired up. But for some reason, they just didn't hit it. Maybe just caught them off night, thankfully. But in the second half, we had a couple of chances and we got a third goal, which Whitlets were claiming to be offside. But the lady official was spot on, it was onside. And Scott Ferguson went through and went also, you know, what a lovely finish, he chipped the keeper. And then Darren Miller blew for full time.
Well, there goes the full time in this show. My thanks to Brian for coming in tonight, and Kevin. Thanks very much, guys, and all the best for tomorrow and the rest of the season. For your input, big man, much appreciated.
Thanks, Will.
Up next is First Play Friday with Michael Lennie. Stay tuned for that one because it's a cracking show. I listen to it on the way home in the car. And until the next time, and Justice Juniors, take care and bye for now.
Love music. Live sport. Just the Juniors with Bill Kilgour and John Redmond on Rock Sport Radio.